Good morning, Mimosa Lane. It's my joy to share with you this first sermon, a portion of it at least, of this series, Revealing God's Glory. As you can see in my outfit this morning, it is true that I am in India for the purpose of taking the glory of God to the nations or to the people groups of South India, along with John Graham and Damon Hartless. But we are simply attempting to fulfill God's will, because the scripture tells us in 1 Chronicles 16:24, we are to declare the glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all the nations. But so often people have a hard time wrapping their mind around the concept of the glory of God. What does it mean to reveal his glory or to experience his glory? All through the scripture is the theme of the glory of God. Almost 400 times the word glory or glorify is used. Let me give you several of those references. First of all, in Habakkuk 2:14, the scripture says, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God." The Bible tells us in the New Testament, when Saul was on his way to arrest those Christians and put them in prison and persecution for sharing the gospel, that he was blinded by the light of God. He was blinded literally by the glory of God. The Bible tells us that sin is defined by falling short of the glory of God. What does the term glory mean? Here's a variety of definitions that come straight out of the meaning of the Hebrew and Greek words for this term in English of glory. It means weight or heaviness or splendor or honor. It means magnificence. It means majesty and beauty. It means to shine, to make a show of. It means to celebrate, to rave, to brag about. It means the grandeur of God. One word in the scripture actually has the meaning of we are to be ornaments unto the glory of God. It means that every breath we take, we are to breathe, live comprehensively. Every deed we do, everything we think, do all to the glory of God. In other words, our lives are to be lived to declare the greatness and the majesty and the beauty of God to everyone, everywhere. Again, the scripture says, describing this term glory, in Exodus 29:43, "And there God says, I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle will be sanctified," which means to be set apart, "by the glory of God." All through the scripture, it gives examples or symbols or expressions of God's glory. In creation itself, it's simply a canvas for God to display his glory or his greatness. Psalms 19:1 says, "Behold, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork." In Exodus 16:10, it says, "And Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of God appeared in the cloud." The scripture says the glory of God is like a consuming fire in Exodus 24:17, "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." Salvation, our salvation, is an expression of the glory, the greatness of God. It says, "His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him." Exodus 33:18 tells us that Moses' prayer unto Jehovah God was, "Lord, show me thy glory." So often when we think of the glory of God, we think of the great manifestations of glory in acts of God. In other words, when God, Jehovah, parted the Red Sea to deliver the children of Israel, we think, what a glorious thing. When Jesus walked on the water in the New Testament, we think, how Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, manifested his glory. But the glory of God is not just the manifestation in his marvelous, glorious acts, but ultimately it's an extension of his glorious character. Because when Moses requested of Jehovah God, "Show me thy glory," God says, "I will show you my glory." But the scripture says, what passed before Moses was the goodness of God. Wow. God's glory is his character, his heart of goodness. So often in scripture, we see this manifest The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:29, give unto the Lord the glory that is due his name. He deserves our glorifying him about his goodness. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:11, Jesus did miracles in Cana manifesting forth his glory. The Bible tells us that God is referred to as the King of glory. In Ephesians 1:17, he's the Father of glory. The scripture says in Psalms 104, his glory is everlasting. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. But also the Bible tells us that God is jealous of his glory. In Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. What does it mean to glorify God? We see this practice so simply portrayed when you've ever talked to a grandparent, a proud grandparent, so quickly waiting for you to ask, well, how's your grandbaby or your granddaughter, your grandson? They'll quickly pull out pictures or tell you about the latest t-ball game or soccer game or football game. What are they doing? They're relishing in the goodness, in the glory, in the grandeur, in their pride, in their grandchild. That's a human reflection of how we ought to be about bragging on God. But how do we experience his glory? You know, this series is going to be about an ultimate expression of us trusting God for some additional financial resources, but that is not the essence of this campaign or this sermon series. This is about you as an individual, me as an individual, us as a congregation, seeking the face of God privately, corporately, in his word, through the daily devotional, and asking God, how can I personally experience and express your glory in my life? What do you need to do that? One of the key factors for us to accomplish and to experience the glory of God is always based through faith. Today, Pastor Bob is going to come now and speak on what it requires of us to know how to experience God's greatness and to reflect his greatness through our learning in a fresh way to trust him. God bless you, and to God be the glory. I'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
You just thought Rocky wasn't going to be here today. As Rocky said, he had asked me to bring a message on faith. And so when he left town, I said, well, Rocky, I'm going to, I may use the miracle where Jesus turned the water into wine at Cana of Galilee. You remember what a great faith chapter where Mary says to the servants, whatever he says, do it. That's what we need to do, isn't it? Whatever he says to do, we need to do it. That's the way he can reveal his glory. Or maybe Lazarus. You know, the raising of Lazarus. Wow, what a great revelation of the glory of God. You know, or maybe Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter. And so Rocky and I, as we're eating Mexican food together, he said, any of that's fine. That's great. Now, why did I want to use one of those, Wesley? Because I already had a sermon for each of those. You thought it was going to be something spiritual, didn't you? But God didn't let me do that. And I'm walking through the den one morning with my Bible, and I'm reading, and all of a sudden I just scream, and Karen goes, what's wrong? And I said, look at this. And I came on the passage that I want to use today. Did you ever have a textbook with the answers in the back? I can remember when I was a student, it was always great. You know, you get that math book and you go, they give you a math equation and you go and you find the answer in the back. But what's the problem with that? They want you to show your worksheet, right? A few weeks ago, our daughter and son-in-law were on a cruise and we moved to their home for a week to get their kids to school and everything. And so we had the homework thing every night. And it was the same thing. Things haven't changed a bit. They went to the back of the book to find the answer. The problem is, we had to do the worksheet, didn't we? Well, we're going to start with the back of the book today. We're going to start with the answer. And I want to read this passage of Scripture, and you'll see it on your screen. I'm not going to ask you to stand now. This isn't our key passage. But I want us to begin with the answer in terms of faith. And it's found in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11 and 12. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. And we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus, what? May be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the answer. But we're going to do the worksheet here in just a moment. But first of all, I want to put revealing God's glory in context to our church, because you're going to hear a lot about this in the days to come. I want to start with our mission statement. Several years ago, we developed a long mission statement. It's hanging, you probably haven't even seen, realized it's there. There's a banner between these two doors out in the worship center foyer. And it's there, and it is so long that if I had to ask one of the staff to quote it, Randall's shaking his head, no, don't ask me to quote it. It's pretty long. But several years ago, we kind of reduced it down, because it begins with to help people discover hope and lead them toward spiritual involvement, ministry, through fellowship with other believers as we worship God. So that's the long version. So we kept to help people discover hope. But you remember when we kind of reduced it down to the GPS, God, people, and service. So we're going to help people discover hope by connecting to God, to people, and to service. Now, if you ask any church their mission statement, it's probably going to revolve somewhere around this. Basically, it's going to revolve around the Great Commission, okay? Because it's all about winning people to Christ, making disciples, connecting them to God, to people, and to service. What really reduces it down for our church is the vision. Our vision, to reveal the glory of God. You see where we're coming from? The whole campaign, revealing the glory of God by being a church that looks like heaven. Have you heard that before? Reaching the nations both near and far. Today, Rocky is far. He and John and Damon are reaching the nation of India. And so that has to do with our vision statement. So I want you to keep that in context as we go through this. But how do we get to 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12? Lord Jesus may be glorified in us. How do we get to this vision? Well, I'm glad you asked. Would you stand with me? In our text today, is 2 Thessalonians, just a few verses ahead of that, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. To the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. You may be seated. Three things I want to share with you out of this passage of Scripture that I believe is going to help us begin with faith. As Rocky said in his video, we begin with faith. The revelation of the glory of God begins with faith. And three things in this passage of Scripture. First of all, they were growing in their faith. Verse 3 says, their faith is growing more and more. See, we have to move beyond that initial stage of salvation faith. And our faith should grow and grow and be dynamic from one day to the next. The word faith appears 500 times in the New Testament and only two times in the Old Testament. Faith in the Greek becomes the supreme of all human acts and experiences. Faith involves total commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord of life. It's actually Christ taking on the personification of the faith passage in Hebrews 11 of the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Today in your ABF, you have hopefully either already studied or you will be studying faithfulness. You're going to be looking at the Galatians 5 passage. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And that passage and the teaching today will talk about how we need to be faithful to God. We need to be faithful students in His Word. We need to be faithful servants serving Him. And we need to be faithful stewards of our time and our talents and our money. And yet theologian A.W. Tozier makes this statement: the average Christian is a harmless enough thing. He is a child wearing a considerable self-consciousness. He is a sick eaglet that can never mount up with wings. He is a spent pilgrim who has given up the journey and sits with a waxy smile, trying to get what pleasure he can by sniffing the wilted flowers he has plucked along the way. Such as these, Satan has gotten too early. What does Tozier mean, this sick eaglet that can never mount up with wings? What he's saying is there are so many Christians today that have no victory in life. They never soar this side of heaven. The devil got to them early, he says, in the infant stage of their faith journey. And so they've never grown in their faith. So how do we grow in our faith? Well, it's like all of the other things that you hate to hear sometimes. It's hard work. And it goes back to that old diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. A steady diet of God's Word and prayer. Worship. Being involved in worship. Being involved in an ABF and Bible study. Being involved in personal Bible study. Next week, Rocky is going to be speaking to us on desiring God's glory. And it goes right along with that. In order to be where we need to be with our faith growing, it has to be something that we desire, just like dieting. Diet and exercise, again, is hard work. But what do you do with a diet? You weed out the negative and you bring in the positive. And then exercise. You find what God says to do and you do it. See, faith and works do go hand in hand, James 2 tells us. And faith without works is dead. See, it's not enough to pack your head full of knowledge. My dad, who pastored for 50 years and worked for Dallas Baptist Association, he had a statement that he made that some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You know what I'm talking about. It's not enough to pack your head with the knowledge. No, God gives direction and you put one foot in front of the other, serving Him. That's the way that we soar like eagles. We run and not grow weary. So first of all, for God to reveal His glory in us personally and as a church, and as we prepare, as we talk about faith today, we must be growing in faith. That's the foundation. But look at the second part of this scripture. Loving in faith. Verse 3 says that their love is increasing. Now, I think there's two parts to this. First of all, I think that we need to love each other. One of the greatest testimonies in this community is that the community could say, you know, those people at Mimosa Lane love one another. And I think that's true of wherever we go. And so, why do we say we love in faith? Well, you know, there's some of you that just aren't real lovable. You know? And I'm not real lovable, so you know? But I had a friend several years ago that wrote a book on unity in the church. And here's what he said about unity in the church. That, Randall, the Jesus in you has to love the Jesus in me. And the Jesus in me has to love the Jesus in you. Folks, if we could get a hold of that, then we could love in faith. Amen? Several years ago, some of you know that I was administrator of the Baptist Children's Home in San Antonio. And we developed a theme song that became a song of our kids, because so many of the kids had poor self-images. And so I was trying to find a theme song that we could use in our chapel service every Thursday night. And the Gaithers had a song about that time. I love the Gaithers. You may remember it. It was called "I Am Loved." Do you remember that song? It went like this: I am loved, I am loved, I can risk loving you, for the one who knows me most loves me best. I am loved, you are loved, won't you please take my hand? We're free to love each other because we are loved. We need to love one another. And so for God to reveal His glory in my life and in the life of this church, today, if there's anyone that, any brother that I have aught with, I need to go to him and get that right. And I think each of us need to prayerfully consider that, and we need to love each other. We need to love each other in faith through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, I think it also has to do with loving others. It's the all nations. It's the Great Commission, and it's our vision statement. The ethnos, the other nationalities. You know, Rocky being in India today with John and Damon is taking glory to the nations, as we said. And Rocky mentioned in the video that the revealing God's glory does have a financial component. We are going to talk about finances. And there's a reason for that. And it has to do not with trying to get people to give more money. It has to do with loving the nations. See, folks, to do what we need to do, we've got to have more money. Today, as you leave, you're going to receive a copy of the Ministry Action Plan, we call it. It's more than a budget. It's our plan for ministry for next year. And you're going to find that we have left our ministries at 100% of this year. But guess what? Our ministers and our organizational leaders didn't have 100% of budget this year. They had 80% because of our giving. And so next year we're going to keep it the same. We're going to move more of our debt service into the capital campaign, the Revealing God's Glory. And so part of what the Revealing God's Glory is all about is to say we're going to free up more money for missions and for ministries in this place. In light of all we're doing, we can do so much more. And I could give so many examples of so many great things that Mimosa Lane's doing. But are we doing enough? Is there more to be done? Yes or no? Yes or no? There's always more to be done. And we need to free up some funds to do just that. And so you're going to hear about that. And again, as Rocky said, it's not about the money. And it also involves not only the money, but the time and the talents and some of us that need to get more involved. And all of our gifts that we use, you know, are for edification of the body of Christ. God has gifted all of us to have a part in this place. We talk in our ABFs a lot about praying and giving and going. A few can go, like Rocky, John, and Damon. But many of us can give toward that. But we can all pray. And so there's a place for all of us to do that. So secondly, for God to reveal His glory in us personally and as a church, we must be loving each other and our community and the world in faith. Amen? Moses is sitting over here You know, a few years ago, I didn't even know about São Paulo, Brazil. And now I love this man and love his ministry and our ministry together in São Paulo. But you know what? That's just not our ministry together. That's your ministry. We go as your representative each year, and we teach master's level course in the Baptist Seminary there in São Paulo, and we train young pastors, and thousands of people are reached for Christ through those young pastors. This year, we had a new student. Was his name Jonathan?
Yes.
New student. His parents, when he was 11 years old, his parents were killed in an automobile accident in São Paulo, Brazil. They were missionaries.
The whole family.
And the whole family was killed except for Jonathan. He was 11 years old. He has a scar from the top of his head to the middle of his forehead where he was injured in that accident. And all of these years later, God has called him back to the city that where his parents died to start new churches. And he is on his fourth church start in São Paulo. Folks, that's loving the world. And you have a part in that. Thank you, Moses. I didn't mean to do that, but wow. It's near and dear to my heart. Number three, persevering in the faith. Verse 4, perseverance in faith and persecutions and trials. You know, that's not something the world can understand, is it? But can I tell you that as we grow in our faith in this place, as we love each other and the world and our community more in faith, as God begins to reveal His glory in our lives and in the life of our church, that Satan is going to attack. Mark it down. In fact, I've already seen it in some of your lives and in the life of our church in the last few weeks as I have walked with you through some dark times. But the scripture here says we must persevere in our faith. So how do we remain faithful in the midst of persecution and trials? I think it goes back to Ephesians 6. I love the passage about the armor of God. You remember the shield is the shield of faith. You remember it was about a 2-foot by 4-foot shield made out of wood. And they would take animal skins and they would soak those animal skins in water. And it'd be kind of like a slimy football when they finished. And they would stretch those onto that shield. And then when the enemy would take their arrows and they would dip the arrows, they would put cloth on it and they would dip it in pitch and they'd set it on fire. And they'd shoot that arrow and it would hit that shield. Psh! And the flame would go out. That's what it's all about. That's how we persevere through faith. We hide ourselves behind the shield of faith. You remember that every piece of the gospel armor that we put on is putting on Jesus. And we persevere behind the shield of faith. A couple of scriptures that won't be on the screen. This is some of that Saturday night editions. I'm kind of taking after Rocky here. But I found these two passages of Scripture. Just mark them down. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And in the other passage of Scripture I gave to the guys this morning for God's promise, Romans 8, 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So for God to reveal His glory in me personally and in our church, we must put on Jesus. We will get behind the shield of faith, and we need God's protection when trials and tribulations come. And then we say, devil, just bring it on. Amen? Amen. I want to close on a personal note. if you and God allows us to continue to the end of this year, Karen and I will have served you and the Lord in this place 19 years. 19 years. It's by far the longest we've ever served any group. And I have people say to me occasionally, well, you know, we've lost a lot of people lately. Or, you know, the money's not really where it should be. Or, you know, staff haven't had raises in 7 years. Don't y'all get discouraged? But I want to stand before you today. I'm excited about the Reveal God's Glory campaign. We don't have a lot of years left of ministry, probably. But I'm as excited today about the future of this church as I've ever been in my life. And I hope you are. I'm excited about where God's going to take us because, again, we're doing more than we've ever done. We're going to more foreign countries than we've ever gone to. Started beach clubs this year. A year ago, we didn't know anything about beach clubs. One of our lay people had a vision for that. Went to Karen and said, you know what, we need to be doing after school program in our school. And they started it. 4 weeks, Karen. How many weeks have we been doing that? 4 weeks? 5 weeks? 6 weeks? They had 78 kids the first day. They had 102 this past Thursday. Had their first child won to Christ this last week. God's revealing His glory. He's still revealing. He is not finished with us yet, church. He is still revealing His glory in this place. Yes, amen. Amen. Stand with me, will you? Will you read this with me? Read with me. With this in mind. Read with me. With this in mind, we constantly pray for Mimosa Lane, that our God may count Mimosa Lane worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may fulfill every good purpose of Mimosa Lane and every act prompted by Mimosa Lane's faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in Mimosa Lane and Mimosa Lane in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your prayer? Are you ready, Mimosa Lane? It starts with faith. Our faith needs to be growing. We need to be loving each other. We need to be loving our world. We need to persevere in the midst of what Satan throws at us and say, get behind us, Satan. We're going forward. We're behind the shield of faith. And so I want our invitation to be a little different today. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, you don't have that faith beginning. There has to come in a place in your life that you realize that you're lost and you're in need of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so following the service today, Brother Gilbert and I will be in the foyer. And if that is your need today, for your faith to start growing, you've got to make that initial step, that salvation faith. And you accept Him through His grace, through faith. Or maybe you're here today and you want to say, you know what, that's the kind of church I want to be involved with. I want to be here when God's revealing His glory in this place. Well, then we'll be in the foyer and we'll meet with you. But I want to end our service today. Would you put the scripture back up there? I want to end our service today calling our church to prayer. I want y'all to join. I'm going to go down here to the altar and I want you to join me. I want you to pray for God to reveal His glory in you and in me and in this place. I want Mimosa Lane to do more than we've ever done before. And we can do that as God reveals His glory in us. And then after a brief period, The man who has served this congregation for 35 years, Brother Gilbert's going to come and pray over us. God, reveal your glory in us.